You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it. We want to thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Ask a Black Doctor with Dr. Bukasi Dubé. This is DJ Ambush. You're listening to 96.7 FM. How are you doing today, sir?
Man, it's good to see you. It's good to see you. Yeah. I'm doing well. Thank you. And how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling more and more informed every week, honestly.
Yeah.
And I do find myself, I'm not going to lie, I am not a medical professional, but I do find myself inserting some of the things that we discuss in other people's conversations when I overhear them. Like, oh, no, that's actually inaccurate.
I like that.
it's nice that we're having these conversations and, you know, doing everything we can to get these vaccination numbers up and to spread some accurate information. But we have some guests with us today.
Indeed we do. So with us is Dr. Christopher Evans. He's an infectious disease doctor at Oregon Health Sciences University. I've worked with Chris since, I would say, the last 6-7 months, and very knowledgeable gentleman. He's very sharp, and honored to have him join us this afternoon. We also have the Knight Cancer Scholars, high school scholars, with us.
Nice.
Today we're going to focus primarily on two things, right? We've heard about the Black hospitalizations and the increasing number. I mean, right now it's really sad. We'll get into that. And then the second thing is masking. We've talked about this, and how you and I still, we've had this conversation numerous times, and we're talking about how we still continue wearing our masks when we go to Trader Joe's or Costco or Walmart, you name it. We were still doing that, even though the CDC was saying it's not necessary. But let's jump into it.
Yeah, let's jump right into it. So we start with hospitalizations. Why are hospitalizations increasing, especially in the Black community?
Man, so there are a lot of things that have led that are leading to this, right? The state has reopened. Governor Brown said when we get to 70% with people having received at least one dose of the vaccine, we would take away all the, essentially reopen the state. We did that. The unfortunate thing is Black folks are still at about 46-47%. That's if we're looking at adults, right? If we're looking at 12 and older, the number is even lower. So the rest of the state has opened, and after reopening, people are out there not wearing their masks, and we have the new Delta variant spreading around, and which is two times more transmissible than the original strain. That's just a, you know, the recipe for disaster. The state reopening and then a new transmissible variant. And that's led to more people getting the virus and more people being hospitalized. And unfortunately, like we said, Black folks not having the same hospitalization rates as the rest of the state, actually as white folks, that has led to this. But I know that Chris has more to add to this, and I'll let him jump in.
Thanks, Dr. Dubé. I think the thing too that is really concerning, one is that we're also seeing, you know, it's so great to have the scholars on the program, but we're also seeing young folks getting hospitalized. I think there was sort of a sense in the beginning of all of this that younger people did well, and to an extent that's true, but we are seeing younger folks in our hospitals. And, you know, I think one of the worst things to once someone gets COVID is, even if you're lucky enough to recover, is that people just don't get back to feeling the way they used to, you know, feeling that they're as sharp as they used to. They feel more tired. And so there's the consequences of getting sick are just much higher. And, you know, as Dr. Dubé said too, I think this is probably one of the more dangerous times to be unvaccinated, because guess what? People have their masks off. So, you know, you're going into your local supermarket and you're unvaccinated. And before, at least you would sort of, at least depend that someone else who was sick might have their mouth covered, but people are shouting and, you know, it's, you know, viruses in the air and you get infected. So this is definitely not the time that you want to be unvaccinated.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad that we consistently draw the straight line between the variant trying to survive, you know, constantly mutating, trying to survive, and then us being personally responsible to doing everything we can to not just protect ourselves, but people in the community. Because as people are watching the numbers go up, all I keep, like, Delta is, it's the key word now. It's the catchphrase, the Delta variant, Delta variant, Delta variant. Yes, that's true. The Delta variant is out here trying to survive. It is chasing us down. However, the other key word is masking. Just put a mask on. It's not like, and they say it in a way almost as if no matter what, the Delta variant is coming and there's nothing we can do about it. There are plenty of things we can do about it. Put a mask on. Let's start there, just as a basis.
So I want to say, DJ, I want to say that when we had this conversation about 4 weeks ago, no, 3 weeks ago, mm-hmm. And then the CDC came out saying, oh, you do not need to mask if you're fully vaccinated in indoor spaces. And so we went against that advice, right, in our conversation and said, no, did. I think we still need to do this. And we talked about the data coming out of Israel, talked about the data coming out of the UK and Canada. And so I had a colleague who listened to this podcast, to the radio show, and said, hey, aren't you guys going against what the CDC is saying? Aren't you guys going against what even the OHA is saying? And I said, you know, yes, we are in a way saying that we're strongly recommending it. And we think it's a good idea. And thankfully, we have been somewhat validated in what we're saying. The important thing is we're spreading good vibes. We're spreading good news. We're spreading the right message. And good to hear that people are listening to this and giving us feedback as well.
Chris, be clear. This is not a situation that we wanted to be right in at all. This is not an I told you so moment, but no,
I think it's one of those where I wish we had been wrong, right?
Right. But this definitely feels like one of those conclusions that just came out of, you know, the conversations we were constantly reminding people. Yeah, there's a lot of rumors. There's a lot of myths out there. The information is constantly changing, because this is one of the very first times that the entire globe is paying attention to the way science and medicine works. And as, you know, the weeks pass, new information is coming out and we're learning and we're learning and we're learning. So it's up to everyone to take the information that's given and move with that in the most responsible way. But there's nothing wrong with being additionally cautious. You know, we're not saying be full skeptics and go against everything and just anti-mask, anti-vax, but it's an additional step, you know, additional measure of caution is, I don't think that's a bad idea at all. So what are the numbers? How many Black people are being hospitalized? We talked about how low the vaccination rates are in the Black community, and we're seeing hospitalizations go up. Well, where are our numbers reflected in the vaccination? I mean, in the hospitalizations.
So the unfortunate thing is, and we've said this all along, that Black folks are being hospitalized at much higher rates. And when if you age adjust the data that we've been collecting, the disparity is even that much more concerning. Right now, Black folks are being hospitalized at about 5.5 times the rate of Caucasians in the state. I mean, 5.5 times the rate of Caucasians. That's incredibly high.
Yeah.
That's scary. I was at a vaccine clinic yesterday at Highland Haven Church, and I encountered this family, elderly gentleman in his late 60s, I want to say late 60s, early 70s, him, his wife, and his daughter, and they shared with me their story of why they were getting vaccinated yesterday, that is. And it was beautiful to see that they heard the message that, hey, Black folks are getting sicker and being hospitalized at higher rates, and they hadn't been vaccinated. So that propelled them to get vaccinated. That propelled them to say they needed to do something to protect themselves. And hence they showed up to get vaccinated yesterday. Stories like that are inspiring. And it also shows how it's important to get the word out there to say that people are getting sick. People are being hospitalized. Mm-hmm. And Chris, Dr. Evans is still working primarily in the hospital and has seen this. I'm sure he has plenty of thoughts on this, on what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. I remember the story just actually going to the ICU and seeing young woman, probably about 20, and with the breathing, you know, she had the high flow oxygen breathing. She, you know, the look was sort of, you know, have you ever seen like a fish out of water that gasping for breath? It was horrible to see. And she looked very uncomfortable. And, you know, the thing I, you know, we both know, myself and Dr. Bay, is that, you know, again, if someone has such severe disease and they end up in the hospital, and unfortunately, you know, some people need to be intubated versus that tube, is that even after you recover, you never sort of, you know, some people never go back to being themselves. And I think that's a scary thing, you know, and I think when you're young and you look forward to all the things of, you know, going, you know, graduating from high school, probably going to college, and maybe, you know, all the things, you sort of, your future is bright, and to have this sort of, you know, put a cloud in kind of what your future might look like, it's very concerning. There was a woman I heard on the news who was looking forward to her daughter's wedding, and unfortunately she got COVID. And when her daughter's wedding came about, she wasn't able to go. She wasn't able to walk her down the aisle. I mean, and she had been looking forward to doing this with her daughter for such a long time. And to me, that just speaks volume, these personal stories of people's futures who have been changed dramatically because of this disease. And I think, you know, a year and a half ago, we could say, well, you know, this was not preventable really, because, you know, just wear a mask. But now this can be a preventable disease. This can be, for most people, if they're vaccinated, no symptoms or very mild symptoms. But, you know, if you're vaccinating, you're not ending up in the hospital for most people. And so, again, it's the biggest risk right now to be an unvaccinated person for COVID-19, because your risk of getting to the hospital is so high, and the consequences are so high once you've even recovered.
Consequences. How do you two feel about, like, should we start having more conversations about what it means to live with COVID-19? What it means, you know, the after effect? Because right now we're talking prevention. And while that was, you know, not that fear should be a motivation, right? But people were, they were afraid. They were scared. Everyone was trying to get antibody tests. Everyone was trying to get vaccinations early when they were scarce. And then once we had vaccinations in abundance, it's like, herd immunity, whatever, you know. But I don't think there's enough conversations about, you know, the long-term effects and what it means to live past the initial, you know, the initial bout with it, and what this means later on in your life, how this will affect you and continue to affect you 5, 10, 15 years down the road.
I completely agree. One of the things that I think you know, we talk about living with COVID. I mean, of course, you know, the person gets infected, but even as a society, how has this fundamentally changed the way we will interact with our healthcare system, the amount of folks who have not come in for their mammograms, colonoscopies, the delayed care. I think the consequences of COVID and the outcomes of COVID are going to be far more than just the disease itself. We know that the healthcare consequences, the constant stress in our society, these are going to have long-term effects. Kids have not been able to go back to school in person for quite a while. These are going to have long-term effects. And I think the most concerning thing for me as a healthcare provider is that when we look at the COVID-19 as a public health issue, we need to look at it globally. Because, you know, if we look at, you know, we look at Oregon and we get to our 70%, but what happens to Montana and Mississippi and other states where there are lower vaccination rates? It means that that person can easily drive over, get off the plane and come here. What happens to countries where healthcare workers have not even received their first vaccine and you have ongoing replicating virus and development of new variants? You know, this puts everyone here at risk. And so this is, I think, going to be a more complex sort of issue that goes far beyond just our local communities. This is going to have impact on us nationally.
Man, Dr. Evans, you bring up a very important point. You think about, where did this variant come from, this Delta variant? Where was it first discovered? In India, right? Yet it's the most dominant variant here in the US now. So we have to think about this globally, right? What's happening in Texas, what's happening in Florida, what's happening in Mississippi has a direct correlation and impact on us here in Oregon. So we're in this together. What's happening in Zimbabwe, what's happening in India, what's happening in the UK or in Israel or in China affects us here in the US. So we have to think of this globally, like Dr. Evans said.
I came across a family last week, and the mother and father in the family had communicated that they weren't taking the vaccine because they had already contracted COVID and they're fine. You know, they've gotten past it. For those that have already contracted COVID, depending on whatever strain it may have been, what are the risk factors for them to recontract it? Now that we have the Delta variant out here running around.
So I can take a stab at this and then I'll let Dr. Evans do so as well. So here's the thing. What we know is that if you were to get COVID-19, you will develop antibodies, and these antibodies typically last about 90 days, right? 3 months. What we know is that if you were to get the vaccines, these vaccines have been scientifically studied and proven to have immunity that lasts more than those 90 days, right? Right now we're saying about 9 months to a year, mm-hmm. Where you have immunity. But what I should emphasize is that if you were to get the vaccine and you get the immunity for nine months to a year, guess what? You're not gonna have all the things that come with COVID, like the potential heart attacks, the potential, you know, intubation, right? Because you're not breathing well, ending up in the hospital, or even dying. So you're better off getting vaccinated.
Yeah, you're better off getting vaccinated and avoiding the COVID experience. There's no need to get on that ride unnecessarily just to get antibodies the good old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
And there's anecdotal evidence, you know, still being looked at, that even people who've had COVID and have gotten the vaccine because they've had long COVID, some people claim that they've felt a little bit better. you know, I think this is still being investigated. So I think there's still value in terms of getting the vaccine. And, you know, there's definitely, as Dr. B said, there's a really strong immune response that you develop. You know, if you've unfortunately gotten COVID and you get the vaccine, you develop a really strong sort of immune response to the vaccine, which is what you need. And so there's definitely benefit, I think, with getting the vaccine for helping sort of develop that immune response.
And this vaccine is effective against the variant and quite possibly against future variations. But the understanding is that no vaccine is a cure-all, fix-all. This is something we're going to be constantly making modifications to and looking at it as booster shots for the most part, like COVID's here to stay.
100%. I mean, I think I've used on a previous talk about talking about a lock and a key. You know, if you think about the lock as being the antibodies and then the key as being COVID, you know, if you know sort of the lock and key that fits perfectly together, but if that key changes slightly, you know, you can sort of jiggle it a little bit, the door will still open. But what we don't want is for that key to change so dramatically that that lock and that key interaction just no longer works. And, you know, viruses want to survive. They want to change that key. They want to evolve. And so if we give them that space by not getting vaccinated and having them replicate, that key will change and can change to a point where some of those vaccines are not effective. We've seen that with even the AstraZeneca vaccine and say the South African variant. That actually doesn't work as well against the South African variant. And so again, it really depends on making sure you're getting that vaccine so that the virus never gets a foothold to replicate.
Is there anything else people can do to protect themselves and their loved ones while they get vaccinated or remain unvaccinated?
So the COVID protective behaviors that we've talked about from the beginning of the pandemic still work, right? The masking, the physical distancing, a good hand hygiene, those mitigation factors still work and are very effective. We now have a new tool in the toolbox, right, in our toolkit, which is vaccines. Get vaccinated. Please get vaccinated because you protect yourself. We're a country that pulls together in times of crisis. This is one of those times where we need to pull together, right? This is one of those times where it's not about Republicans, it's not about Democrats, it's not about independents. It's about the United States of America and coming together and making sure that we fight this as a country. And pull together.
And one of the things too, I just want to add to what Dr. DeBay said. I mean, think about it that we've had young kids die from COVID. So there's one thing. And guess what? The vaccines are only approved right now down to age 12 for specifically for the Pfizer vaccine. So they're young kids that have no choices but to, you know, of course, keep themselves well. And so, for, you know, young kids are playing and so forth. So I feel like the best thing you can do, if not for yourself, do it for your community members who are going to be unprotected and who have a chance of getting COVID and, you know, in rare circumstances can die from this is by getting vaccinated. Because again, young kids so far are still unvaccinated and they can't until they're approved for those vaccines.
Dr. Evans, what are some of the resources that are available to people that are having a hard time with the vaccination, you know, conversation? People that may still be on the fence or you know, maybe they're not tuning into our podcast to get all the updated information. What are some other resources, some other places people can find the information they need to make an informed decision?
As much as I love Facebook for knowing what when someone's birthday is, I really don't know how vetted the information is always on Facebook. You know, if your grandmother's posting about, you know, her cat and then posting after about COVID, you know, having a magnet in it, it's probably not a good source for information. I think talking to trusted sources, I know that the Oregon Health Authority has a very good website listing about sort of the vaccines or questions about the vaccines. Talking to your local provider, you know, trusted sources that you've gotten previous health care news from. I mean, it's funny that, you know, you've trusted your provider to have healthcare decisions in the past, but now you're only trusting Google or Facebook. So I think that, you know, having these conversations with, I mean, amazing folks like Dr. DeBay, And, you know, looking at community members who have been in this space before, public health leaders, you know, I definitely have to say, you know, granted, you know, trusted board, you know, sources like the CDC have made mistakes, but they're good, hardworking folks who are really earnest in giving good messaging. And guess what? This is a new disease process and, you know, information changes. And I think people are just trying their best. And so I don't think you should ever hold it against someone if the recommendations change, because guess what? The disease is changing and the pandemic is changing. And so, yes, so I would say our local health authorities are great places to find trusted sources of information. I don't know if Dr. Dubey has any additional resources.
Listen to this podcast. Listen to this radio show. No, I think you covered it well, Dr. Evans. There's a lot of misinformation out there, and there are a lot of good sources of information as well. Just make sure you get it from people who are experts in this, right? If you need a tree chopped down at your house, you would go to an arborist, right? You're not gonna ask your dentist about chopping that tree down.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So it's making sure that you go to the right people for that information, making sure that the information is solid information as well. I see that there's a question in the chat from one of the high schoolers about the Delta variant, and says, do you think that the Delta variant will cause more breakthrough illness due to high rate of infection?
So one of the things we know about the Delta variant is that it is more infectious than our original kind of strain of COVID, if we can ever say there was an original strain. And so we know that there are cases of breakthrough. Again, these vaccines were never 100% effective. So we know that, you know, people still can get COVID. But again, as this virus changes, there's definitely a possibility that people can have breakthrough cases, even people who have gotten vaccinated. It seems, though, that the people who've gotten vaccinated, who've had breakthrough cases and had more serious breakthrough cases, tend to be people who are immunocompromised. You know, so there's a two-part kind of recipe for protecting against COVID. One is the vaccine, and two is your immune system. So if we give you the vaccine and your immune system is not necessarily the strongest, or you're on medications that suppress your ability to make a strong immune response, then it's definitely possible that you might be at a higher risk, as virus changes. And so we will start seeing that. I think right now, all the evidence that we have is that our vaccines are working, and not necessarily working 100% to prevent sort of you being found, you know, to be positive. But the most important thing is it keeping people out of the hospital? Is it preventing them from dying from COVID? And for the majority of folks who've gotten the vaccine, that is true. So again, the people who are ending up in the hospital dying from COVID, majority of them are unvaccinated.
And for anyone looking for additional information and tips, just how to take care of yourself, yes. If you're listening to the podcast right now, that's excellent. Spread it. There's different information that we have on each episode. You can actually see us going through moments of discovery week after week as the mandates and regulations have changed. But you can also head to safestrongoregon.org, and you can find all types of information there, some easily shareable PDFs and photos and images you can share on social media, all at safestrongoregon.org. I want to thank everyone for your time, for joining us today. Dr. Evans, look forward to having you in some future episodes. You know, if you got some time, that would be great. And we will catch you guys on the next episode. Please make sure you join us as part of our summer series. Go ahead and head over to the website. You can see all the dates that we have coming up. And at every one of these dates, we will have vaccination pop-up clinics with incentives for people to get vaccinated. So please make sure you're coming out. Check out the talent. That's great. Have a good time. But if you know someone that isn't vaccinated, and if money can be a motivating factor, bring them on down.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And get vaccinated, people. Get vaccinated.
Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.